We're considering Paul's confident assertion in Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. But immediately questions arise in our minds, and we're considering four questions that Paul poses in connection with this verse. The first is the obvious, which we considered last month. What then shall we say to all these things? These things include the current pandemic of 2020. They include the problems that we encounter in our personal lives. They consider the intrusion of tragedies into not only the world situation, but our own lives. And so Paul said, what then shall we say to these things? God's answer was, if God be for us, who can be against us? But then the question arises, in the midst of all these things, how can we know or even think that God could be for us? How can we be sure that God is on our side? If we look at ourselves and our present situation, the answer seems to be no way God could be on our side. Even in this chapter 8, Paul reminds us that the carnal, the fleshly, the natural mind is enmity against God. And so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And earlier in this book of Romans, Paul thundered from the Psalms, there's none that does good, no, not one. And we're reminded that even our best, our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Surely, God can't be on our side and work everything out for our spiritual good. But even in terms of this earthly life, we don't deserve anything from God. Jacob, who tricked his brother Esau out of the blessing, tricked Laban to marry Rachel. As he came back home to face his brother Esau, Jacob lamented, I am not worthy of the least of all of these mercies and all the truth you have shown to your servant. And our own consciences say to us, you deserve nothing good from God. We think when bad things, quote, happen, God is punishing us for what we've done. We think in terms of karma, what goes around comes around. What then shall we say to all these things? The reality of the sufferings of this present age seem to contradict the assertion that all things work together for good. In fact, the psalmist cried out, why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? Can there be any satisfactory answers to the questions, what shall we say to these things? You will find no answers if you think of good in terms of what this world has to offer. You'll find no answers if you look at yourself and your present circumstance. The realities of the sufferings of this present age seem to make it impossible that God could be for us, that God could be on our side, that God could be Emmanuel, God with us. So Paul points us not to ourselves, but to the cross. God did not spare his one and only Son. But he gave him into the sufferings and punishment that our sins deserved. He put on Jesus the suffering of hell itself for us. God so loved us that he gave his only Son that we might have everlasting life. And so you have to go to the cross to see the greatness of God's love, who indeed is on your side. In the cross, we see the certainty of God's love and the working out of his purposes in our lives, even through and because of these seemingly bad things that are a part of this world and a part of our life. How do we know that God is on our side? What should we say to these things? Paul this morning answers this question with a question. Listen to Romans 8, verse 32. So this follows now. All things work together for good. What shall we say to these things? How can God be on our side? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So we approach the end of the church year and anticipate the season of Advent, the celebration of Christmas, the birth of God's Son, and see the cross. We are reminded that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And he's talking personally, individually, to each one of you this morning. We close then with the singing of hymn 245, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5.